So we're going to change things up this morning, and we're going to hear from three other guys in the room who are dads. And so I want to invite those three men shortly, in just a moment. I wonder if you know who they might be. We have the Samoan prince. We have a man who I'm sure has mafia connections. And then we have an astronomer, our very own scientist in the house. And so first of all, I want to invite and ask Giovanni, the mafia man, to come on up here and join me. Here we go, Giovanni, the Italian stallion. All right, number two, our very own scientist. Just grab a seat right there, Giovanni, if you would. There we go. Are you feeling relaxed? A bit nervous, but very comfortable, no problem. And then we've got our very own scientist, Mr. Ian Thompson. Come on, Ian Thompson. There we go. Welcome to the couch, man.
Thank you.
This is couch talk. Fantastic. And none other, our last man is none other than the Samoan prince, Mr. Swag himself, Infe Wongsi. Come on up, Infe Wongsi. How you doing, mate?
Good.
Doing all right? Didn't he do a good job this morning? You all right, man?
That's good, man. That's good.
Sit over there or there, whatever you want to do, matey. We want to hear the story or some input, some stories from these three guys. And I handpicked them because I honor them all. They're brothers, men of God. And there's an overarching theme which you're going to learn about very soon. Learn about why we've asked them to share. We want to hear real stories from real dads and about their journey and their story, and if they had their time again, what would they have done differently? And so, but why don't we start off by just getting you guys to introduce yourself. I think you've got a microphone there. There's one down there. And maybe, Ian, you could kick it off for us here. Just give us your name and give us your occupation and your favorite all-time movie.
Okay. Well, my name's Ian Thompson. And I guess my profession these days is what I would best describe as a journeyman. I'm a teacher, an environmental scientist, jack of all trades, master of none. So I go from place to place during my life doing this and that. My kids always tell me, "Hey, Dad, how many jobs have you had?" I've lost count. But anyway, yeah, and my favorite all-time movie is Lawrence of Arabia, and I'll tell you why, because it was the first movie that I went to when I was a kid on my own. Starred some fantastic actors. We had Alec Guinness, we had Omar Sharif, Peter O'Toole, giants of the acting screen. And just That's a right. magnificent story about leadership and drawing men together, which was really good, which was quite inspiring.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vani, and I work in Tegel as programmer analyst.
So is that Tegel?
Tegel, okay. The chicken. So if you need chicken, just let me know.
Did you all hear that?
And my favorite movie is Braveheart, because how you know William Wallace sacrificed himself to get their freedom. Yeah.
Fantastic, man! I love that movie.
Cool. Talof Lava. My name is Infe Wongsi. I'm a social worker at the Avondale New Zealand Police. I've been working there for the last 10 years. My all-time favorite movie, I'm a bit of an action man. I love, back in 1985, Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and The Last Dragon. I love my Kung Fu movies, a bit of Bruce
wow,
Lee. And
that's yeah. great. Just while you got the microphone there, Faye, why don't we can learn a bit more about you. What would be your most favorite holiday destination? If you could go anywhere.
Anywhere? Probably, I'd love to take, I wouldn't mind going with my wife over to Europe, go over to Greece, go to Italy, Rome, man, that's my destination.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
That's my bucket list.
That's the land of love, brother. Italy, Rome.
Land of love, yes.
That is great. You might catch up with Giovanni's family over there with the black suits. Favorite destination there?
Probably Europe, but actually, Pastor Richard, I don't have any like particular destination because as long as I have my wife and my son,
and plus,
if our family can join us, then probably any destination will be a great holiday.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Great, man. Domestic credit right there, man. Extra massage this afternoon. How about you, Ian?
Oh, that man knows how to rack up brownie points, isn't he? Right? I'm going to share it with Infe. Actually, Greece is my favorite destination. I've been there many, many, many years ago.
Right.
Just love the whole antiquity of the place. And, you know, finding out how much our roots, I'm talking about Palangi now, you know, Europeans, how much of our roots actually stem from the Greeks and the Greek culture. And I just love the Greek cooking. It's just amazing.
I'm glad you said cooking. I thought you were going to say something else here for a minute. That's great. That's great. Well, so how long have you been a dad, Ian?
Well, my eldest boy is 25 now. So I've been a dad for 25 years now.
That's Mark, is it?
That's Mark. He's currently overseas doing the big OE.
Wow.
And as you know, I've got Sam and Emily and Max and Isabella.
How old is Isabella now?
Isabella's my youngest, and she's 11 now.
Wow.
So quite a spread in ages.
Yep.
And it's been a real journey, I think, being a dad for 25 years, and it's been a really fantastic journey. Sometimes you wonder, you know, at my age, when you get to be a dad my age, and I was a dad quite late in life with Isabella, as you can work out, do the math. You think, well, you know, how am I gonna do this? How am I gonna keep going? How can I keep this up? And then other times they keep you young. You know? So fantastic experience.
Fantastic.
Really good.
Very good. Vanny, I want to give you a different question, brother. Can you remember your most favorite Dad's Day gift? What might that be, your most favorite gift for Father's Day?
I couldn't ask anything for more, but probably another pair of shoes, honey, will be okay.
Shall we get Tay up on the couch? It feels like you want to talk to her all the day. Another pair of shoes, please, Tay. That'd be great. But you've got cousins and family members in the shoe trade, right, with black suits. So you should better work something out, brother.
Yeah, probably.
How about you, Faye? Dad's you've got it. Like, now's the time, mate, to let your wife know, your kids know, what you really want for Father's Day. No more socks and hankies.
A nice Ford Falcon. trip around the world. And
West Side.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like a Ford Falcon?
Yeah, man. Ford.
Fantastic. Okay. The standard automobile for the West Auckland, eh? That's great. Can you remember your very first, becoming a dad for the very first time, how you felt?
Whoa. Okay, then. Just to share with you guys, my wife was previously married, okay, and she had Israel. And during that time, Malia's husband was over in Australia. And, they were having some few issues. And so I came into the picture. And so before she got married, I knew Malia when we were working at Burger King. And I was making the Whopper. She was the new intern, and the boss said, this is a Samoan girl. She's going to come and help you. And so I was trying to impress her with my how to make Whopper burger. and then later on, so we kind of like, we're best friends. We're best friends. We're doing life together. And then she went and got married and had Israel. And then I came later on in the picture. And so that's when Israel was only 2 or 3. And so that's when I have to learn how to be a father. And so I was, at a young age, I was very nervous. I don't know what to do. That's why it's the key. That's what I love about this church, about discipleship. Discipleship is the key. And, it was hard. It was hard, challenging. I wasn't born again. Gave my life so many times. And then born again. Went out to the clubs, and then born again. Did something stupid. But it wasn't until I came to Every Nation and understanding of lordship. And that's where I fully gave my life to God. And so being a father, I was only a part-time dad. And when you say part-time, 20 hours. But I wasn't even doing 20 hours. I was being very selective of my time and went to come and visit Malia. And that's when Israel came along. And then that's when Javan came, and then Xavier. The thing is, growing up in a traditional church, my father was very strict on me. So I had a real close relationship with my mom. So my mom knew about my three sons, but my dad didn't. And so we did everything behind closed door towards my dad. And so we were doing this for the last 3 years, 4 years, and then later on, my wife Malia just got sick of it. And then I was doing my part-time and being selective in regards to my father, as a role of a father, because I don't know how to be a father, because I didn't have a good relationship with my dad. And then, and then from there, then I able to learn how to be a father. Mm. The hardest part is when I have to confront my dad, say that I walked in the house, my three sons, Israel was only three, Javan was only one, and Xavier was only 3 months. And as I walked into the house, my mom and dad were sitting, and then my dad walked in, and he goes, "Who are these kids?" That's an opportunity where you just want to drop the magic bomb, me just want to disappear. But I have to front up in front of my dad and say, "Well, Dad, this is your grandsons." And that's where my dad was very strict. And I said, "No, that's not my grandsons. How dare you?" And then I was being kicked out, just didn't love me no more. He didn't want to be a father to me no more. It was a disgrace to the family. And I took it. And then I walked with with Malia, and then my three boys. And I just had enough of the whole hiding the whole thing. And then I just said, "You know what, love? The thing is that I didn't propose to my wife. I didn't ask my father-in-law, which he is here. Hello, Papa. Papa Salunga. I didn't ask my father-in-law for my Mali's hand. I just said, "You know what? We already had three kids. Let's get married. And then I have to learn from there to be a father." And so 17 years, it was hard work. 17 years of God's grace upon me, learning to be a father. Now, for me, I just like going out to the clubs, hanging out with my boys, come when I want to come to visit Xavier, Javan, Israel, Javan, Xavier. So I've got seven kids. I've got Israel, 19. I've got Javan, 16. Xavier, 15. Zion, 14. Then a massive-ass jump to Judea, 5. And then I've got a little one named Kalea, who is 1. And also I've got another son who is part of our family, which is Samuel Tupou. Yeah, so that's
wow.
Me.
It's been quite a story, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot.
You've shared a lot there, and I'm glad you mentioned about Wala, because you don't have to biologically sire children to be a father. And in fact, Ian would be another example of that as well, and possibly Vani as well, of learning to take young men, young ladies under their wing and be a blessing in their life. And so that's a real good model for us in faith. Thank you for sharing that story. It's a massive story.
When you get heaps of kids, seven kids, as a father, you forget their names. So you go, Xavier, but you call out Javan, Xavier. And then you go, Javan, but it's Xavier. But yeah.
Wow.
Well, memory loss. Hey.
Vanny, you've got Benjamin, you've got the one son. And can you remember that the first time you met him and how you felt when he was on the outside?
For me, I think it's happy and scared. Because I was happy because that's what I've been praying for, to have my own child. And probably I can say that Benjamin is the best gift that we ever had. And scared because as a first-time dad, what I have experienced when Benjamin was born. Probably most of you here doesn't know that Benjamin was born premature, and he only weighs 840 grams. So from the time, the first time I saw him, I don't even knew how to touch and cuddle him because he was so fragile and it looked like a kitten.
Yes.
It's really small. And probably, from what I remember, I think it took me 5 more days before I finally have the courage to cuddle him.
Right.
And of course, with the help of my wife and the nurse, Indigo. Yeah.
Were you allowed to touch him, or was he in the incubator?
Yes, he's in the incubator, but he's allowed at last to, like, they call it kangaroo cuddle, so that he will feel our, I think he needs some heat.
Yes.
So when they put it on my desk, like, saw him, probably I don't have a picture, but it's like a kitten for me.
Yes.
It's really small. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Thank you, Vani. I'd like to ask you, Ian, because you've got boys and girls, and what do you think from your experiences is one of the major or key differences between fathering girls and boys?
A very good question. There are differences, and there are big differences. I think, but from my experience with my two daughters, with girls, the role of the father is very much, particularly as they get to the age of around about 11, 10 or 11, is to really affirm them as young women. So I encourage all dads out there to really pay close attention to that, because for girls, that's a lot of what of it is about is appearance, how they look, how they fit in with their peers. Dads, date your daughters, and show them what they need to expect from young men. So from a very early time, since I've been dating my daughter since she's about 9, and whenever I take her out, I open the door of the car for her, the door when she gets in, open the door when she gets out. Those sort of little things, and most of our date times are nothing spectacular. They're just like going somewhere. Might go out shopping, might go for a coffee or a muffin, that sort of thing, but talk to them, and always listen. I spend more time listening than talking. And that's probably the same for boys as well, but it's a bit different. Boys, well, you know, they don't relate to anything really unless there's a possibility of bloodshed, you know what I mean? They like the rough and tumble. So with boys, I think from me, it's building up memories. Camping trips, fishing trips, just spending time hanging out with dad, having a big laugh when dad falls off the skateboard because he's trying to do something that he shouldn't do because he's too old.
Or playing rugby league.
Yeah, that sort of thing. All the men in the house can relate to that. Yeah, so, and really showing them what it is to be a dad that expects and accepts responsibility, rejects passivity. These are hobby horses of mine, as you'll know, Pastor Richard, but I guess it's probably fair to say that my kids have probably seen me crash and burn a lot of times. But one of the things they've seen me do a lot of times as well is to pick myself up, dust myself off, and keep going.
Yes.
Pick up, keep going.
Yes.
And I think that's really, really important. If you mess up, dads, say you're sorry straight away. Don't be afraid to do that. Be quick to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we Very all good. Make terrible mistakes. And it makes me cringe when I think about the many, many mistakes I've made as a dad. But, you know, when you need to and you really mess up, you know, say you're sorry, pick it up and move on.
Very good.
Yep.
Very good. I'm glad you mentioned that, Ian. That's really great. And for those that don't know, Ian's actually a single dad and had really lots of a really long journey to work through, haven't you, with relationships. And so I really want to honour you today, Ian. And you serve faithfully in the church. When I first came to this church, it was obviously you and your wife at the time. And so to do that with eyes looking in as well and kids from that marriage, and it's been a lot of pressure. And so we honour you, and that's really brought a lot of mental health concerns for him as well. And so may the Lord bless you. That's great. I want to ask you all one final question before I wrap it up. You've all got sons. I want you to imagine, and indeed I hope it really does happen, eventually they will also become fathers. You're allowed to give them one piece of advice as they are about to become a dad. One piece of advice. What would you say to them? What would be that one piece of advice? And I'm going to throw it right back down to you, Infa, if I can.
Say goodbye to your social life, mate. And your sleeps. Now, the only advice that I can do give to my sons, especially because it's so true what Ian shared in regards to your relationship with your boys and relationship with your girls. You're going to have a great relationship, an open door relationship with your children. And when they're down, you pick them up. Where they disagree with you, you're just going to listen. And then give that opportunity to able to hear them out and able to paint a picture for them. And so, So my advice to my son is to love God and to do his will. And that is success in life.
Very good.
That's my only advice to, because if you don't know God, if you don't do his will, then, yeah. So that's
Great.
My advice
Great.
To my sons.
Thank you, Faith.
Right, son? Right, Israel? Yeah. I don't care if you're big or what, you just bring it in. I get it, yeah.
I think for me, I think they just need to appreciate more his wife and to love and spend quality time to his family and also trust God and keep his faith in him because life has so many trials and challenges. So I think the only way to overcome those challenges is just trust him and surrender everything to him.
Yeah. Very good. How about you, Ian?
One of the things that comes to mind is a piece in Proverbs. Sorry, I can't remember the verse, but it says, train a child in the way he should go, and they will not depart from it. And I see that for kids. One piece of advice I'd give my kids is, look, find your child's bent. In other words, find what they're good at, what their desires are, and train them into it, which means guide them, I guess, for me. Guide them into it. There's no point in trying to make your child try and do something that they either don't want to do or their talents just aren't suited to. Everybody's got talents, and your children will be no exception. So, you know, work hard to find out what that bend is and help them find a way to use that so that they can be happy in themselves and in what they do.
Very good. Thank you very much, guys, for sharing. And just remain there if you would. Hopefully you've enjoyed that and picked up a few tips along the ways, both dads and expectant dads as well. One that common theme that comes through is really two thoughts. One is there's no perfect dad up here on the stage, and there's no perfect story. And just listening to Faye and Malia's story, Ian's story of just marriage and family life. And there's no dad that's perfect. Can all the men in the house say yes? Yeah. Amen. There is no perfect father other than the Father upstairs, and that's really how I want to wrap this up this morning. I personally never had a dad. I had obviously had a biological father, but he left when I was very young, and you can go through those situations and still have a father who's active in your life. Like Ian is a great example of that. My dad didn't really want to. He's too busy with his boys, I think. And so never had any father figure in my own life. And so when I was going to become a dad, and I have four great sons, I'd love to get the daughter one day, but I guess it's not going to happen now. I'm actually expecting to be a grandfather, and the grandchild's going to be a boy as well. So we're going to have a few words with my son down there. But when I became a dad, because I was a product of a divorce, and I was just had the utmost determination never to put my kids through that. So I've got this motivation, you know, this idea of a perfect family. And then being a Christian man, of course, I think there's about 100,000 books on how to be a great dad. And in the Christian world, of course, in church world, we are so used to not portraying our imperfections. We all like to give the impression that we're all together, but actually we all know we're not all together. And so this kind of pressure in church life to be the perfect dad, you know, and read all the books and listen to all the focus on the family and be everybody's ultimate father, that was fueled by my own negative upbringing. And so when I failed, it ran deep in my heart. You know, when I said something I shouldn't have said, and it ran really deep. I would get really hard up on myself. I said something, got impatient, you know, a whole host of mistakes. And I began to realize there is no such thing as a perfect dad. And that's really what I want to say today. It's so normal and it's so part of church culture to think that you should be a perfect father. And I want to say to all the dads, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be present. And I have this statement, it should be up there now. Not perfect, but present. And by the way, mums, there's no perfect mum either. And wives, please don't try and get your husbands to be the perfect dad. There is no such thing. He makes mistakes and he will grow through those mistakes. And so men, while I want you and myself and us, we exhort one another as brothers to be the very best we can. I want to relieve you from this particular disease in the church to be perfect. You are not and you will not, but I hope and trust that you will grow. I believe we need to be present. Present physically. Never underestimate the power of just being present. Being there. Whether it's repeating the same old bedtime routines or providing a taxi service, helping with the homework, watching another sports game, or enduring another dance recital. Never underestimate physically being there to build memories and relationships. There's a story of Charles Adams, prominent political figure in England. He was a very busy man, but he was also a father. And amongst his busyness, he maintained a daily journal, a diary. And one day he entered this in his diary. Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. His son's true story, his son's name is Brooke. He also kept a diary. And on the same day, Brooke made this entry. Went fishing today with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. Time is never wasted. So men, dads, expectant dads, young guys, I hope you're listening because you're going to be a dad one day and you can benefit and not make the same mistakes that we have made and continue to make sometimes. Not only should we be present physically, but of course, that's not really enough. We need to also be present emotionally. Some dads can be in the room, but never be in their kids' lives. Being an effective dad requires us to be present emotionally as well. How do we do that? How do we not be passive dads, but be engaged dads? Very simply, number one, first of all, we make time for our children. Yep, life is busy. Yep, sometimes teenagers don't talk to you. Yep, it sure is easy to turn the television on and just watch that as a family and call it family time. Yeah, right. It's easy to do those things, men, but guess what? When we became dads, we didn't sign up for easy. We signed up for the privilege and the pleasure of raising another human being. If we will, in our busyness, make sure we carve out time for our children, it will cost us, but the rewards are massive. I personally have really enjoyed the teenage years and the young men years when they involve you in their life because you took the time to invest, particularly in the early years. Not just making time to engage and be present emotionally, but also to make space for emotional engagement. Here's a couple of ideas for emotional engagement. Have dinner at the table and talk. Have dinner at the table without a screen. No phones at the table. No television in the back room. No laptops open. Just you and them. And ask questions. Ask good questions. Try to avoid the yes and no questions. And you'll find that will build emotional engagement. Asking great questions. Questions and ask questions, not great spiritual questions necessarily, questions that relate to them. And then when you ask the questions, listen, because you might learn something. So we're present physically, we're present emotionally, but thirdly, dads, can I encourage you to be present spiritually? Without being overbearing, and that's one of my weaknesses as a passionate man, as a man who loves God, a pastor, I can be overbearing. I can be too strong, too quick. And I'm continually learning that. Not to be overbearing, but bring God into every situation in life. I remember a lesson, I think it was a parenting course or some tape back in the days. Does anybody remember a tape? And I remember, I think it was James Dobson, you know, good old super dad, if there is such a thing. And he says, bring God into every situation. Try to create a God consciousness in your children. If they fall over and graze themselves, don't just go, oh, they're there and patch it up. But actually, let's pray. And I remember untold times, almost mechanically, praying for that grazed knee or that exam they might have missed out on. In the most small things in life, just by using prayer, bringing God into the situation, creating a God consciousness, being present spiritually. Our kids are a gift from the Lord and they are our first disciples. You don't have to be a theologian, not a pastor, you don't even have to be super dad, but you can be a spiritually present dad. And here's what we can do. Cultivate and display an authentic and vibrant relationship for God for yourself. I think the most strongest piece of advice, the most demanding and yet the most rewarding thing that we can do as dads is have for ourselves a relationship with God that's so real and so loving and so seen. I encourage you when you do your devotions, open the doors. Let the children see you pray. Let them see the Bible open. Maybe they're even sitting on your knee because they won't be quiet and give you some peace and quiet. Let them see you engage with God. Pray with them. Pray for them. Bedtime prayers are magic. You might feel like you're repeating the same old prayer, but guys, I want to tell you, that's touching their soul. It's touching their spirit. As they get older, one-on-one discipleship to encourage them. And here's a final one. Regularly and punctually come to church. That may seem a little unusual, but you see, kids watch us and they know what's valuable and important to us. And it's not really what we say, it's what we do. And when we're late all the time or we're irregular, that communicates something to our children. And I was raised, not by my parents, but I observed other men in church and was taught, even with low-level health issues, bring them to church. It's provided the other children are not going to be ill. To be consistent and be punctual and engaged in church life. That's another way that we can spiritually be present. Don't have to be perfect, but be present. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I love a quote by Pastor Steve Murrell in his book, My First Attempt, Second Attempt, Third Attempt at Parenting. I really encourage you to read that. I love the way it's written. It's almost irreverent because all the other books are really about how to be a great dad. How your kids have to be perfect. And what Pastor Steve does, he deals with training the heart, not behavioral modification. Not worrying about haircuts and dress codes. He focuses on the heart. And he says this just incredible statement. He says, training children to obey is important, but it's more important that they have a heart to follow God. Be present and not perfect. You think we can do that, guys? Be physically there, be emotionally there. And be spiritually there. Of course, if we do it in our own strength, we might not do very well. But if we commit that to the Lord, and that flows out of a relationship with Him, He will help you. We are proof. We're evidence that of broken men with imperfect lives, with a whole lot of junk, bring it to our Heavenly Father. He can make something beautiful out of it. He can actually build a strong, godly home. I should have also mentioned on that note with spiritual, being present spiritually, that involves having standards in the home. It's not okay for kids to watch whatever they want. Have standards of language. And part of our role as spiritual leaders is to actually guard that and preserve that. And men, I want to tell you, it is hard to be a dad in this age, I believe, because the culture is forcefully trying to raise our kids on our behalf. Have you noticed that? Through music and media. So we need to be very present, spiritually, and discerning, and aware, and engaged. Father, we just thank you. We love you. We honor you today. And while we accept there's no perfect father, at the same time, we acknowledge, Father God, that you are perfect. We sang it, and now we speak it, and we know it in our hearts, that you truly, sir, you are perfect in all your ways. Thank you for helping us in our weaknesses. Thank you for helping us be dads. And Lord, I pray today, thank you for comforting those who would long to be a dad today. God, no matter what the situation, whatever the circumstance, Lord, you are a great dad. Lord, help us to embrace you. Sometimes because of our earthly experiences, we struggle to relate to you as a father. We struggle to trust you as a father because the one who was supposed to represent you did not and broke trust and in some cases even abused. But God, I pray that you'd heal hearts today. That, Lord God, you'd somehow allow us to see that that's not what you are like. But you are good. You'll never abuse. You are faithful. You're kind. And you're holy. There's only one perfect Father. And while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I just wanted to read the scripture. In Romans 8:15 it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Maybe you're here today and you don't know this Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you do not relate to God the Father. You see him as some judge, some cold, distant person who doesn't feel and doesn't want to be engaged in your life. That is not the God of the Bible. That is often a religious portrayal of Father God, but that is not Father God. He loved us so much that he sent his only son to this earth. While we were still sinning, while we were so hell-bent on prideful hearts, doing our own thing, he still sacrificed because he is a good, good father. The Bible tells me that when we receive Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son as Lord and Savior, and turn from our sin. The Bible tells me that we don't just go to heaven, but we get to be a part of his family on earth. And Romans talks about this spirit of adoption. It's a beautiful thing. I am a living example of partaking of and being embraced by spiritual adoption. Not only do we get to go to heaven by being a follower of Christ, but we also are welcomed and embraced as a son and a daughter. Even with all our background and our imperfect parents and our absent parents and maybe even our abusive parents, and I do not want to belittle any of that. It's tragic. It should never happen. But even with that, when we turn to Christ and put our faith in him, he will receive us as a son and a daughter. He puts his spirit, his DNA inside of us. And we can call him Abba Father. And we can know him. We can talk to him and relate to him about the smallest of things. Big things, little things. And Father God is here today to welcome and receive anybody else who would put their trust in his son, Jesus. If you'll stop running, stop trying to make God fit into your box and fit into your world, if you'd let go and just say, "God, here I am, I'm sorry. Please receive me." The Bible tells a parable of a father whose son, a prodigal, he ran away. He thought he knew better. The day came when the son went off and tried to do his thing, make his money, take control of his own life. And after all, he had nothing and he was making his way back to his father's home. And the story tells us in the parable that the father was at the edge of the property, watching and looking for a son. I imagine he did that every day. Is today the day? Is today the day? Will my son come back today? Will my daughter come back today? Looking, longing with hope. And the day came when that boy came home. His father embraced him. He wants to do that for you today.